The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, because every game I had to win. Football, I got to be a champion.
The week 12 preview, and it is a stuffed show, basically because we were stuffed from yesterday's Thanksgiving Day games. It's Cecil Lamy and Sigmund Bloom with the week 12 preview here on the Audible. We're doing everything else, Bloom, so yeah. Let's get right to it.
Yes.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Cleveland Browns, and on the Buccaneers side, they say Leonard Fournette's gonna still get his workload, but Rashad White just seems better.
Yeah.
So how much of that, I think that's the biggest storyline to watch with the Bucs going forward. Like, how much does White almost just take over this backfield as the fantasy playoffs are rapidly approaching?
Yeah, first of all, with this game, you look at it as a potential weather game, like a potential rain, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, maybe not the best conditions for the passing game. We'll check in on Sunday morning about that. But you're right, the headliner here for Tampa is the backfield. Leonard Fournette, doubtful. He practiced limited fashion, but it's doubtful. Hmm. And it's a painful hip, maybe a bruise, a hip pointer. So this is a chance for Rashad White to show in a larger dose what we've been seeing all season, that he just has more juice and more to add to this offense. And this is a Cleveland team that the Buffalo running game just came alive against them last week. Otherwise, you're gonna see Brady to Evans and Godwin. And look, you're not gonna bench Evans or Godwin. You're not gonna play Cade Otton. Russell Gage isn't gonna play. So Otton maybe as a third option in this passing game. Maybe a player coming out of the bye that you see some more trust. But Tampa wants to maintain control of this division. And for Cleveland, this is the last game before they hand it off to their quarterback, soon to be of the present.
Yeah, that's why we're just watching Jacoby Brissett and we're saying thanks, man. Jacoby played some good football. So, you know, the Browns are easy to figure out what they're going to do. I'm still going to watch the health status of David Njoku and try to figure that out, where I'm trying to figure out tight end, where I didn't get Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews, which is a lot of leagues, Bloom. So let's talk about the Browns and their finale with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I agree with you. I had it in my notes. He's just a tribute to Brissett outplaying expectations. And also remember, this guy had to be thrown into the fire when Andrew Luck retired. He had to be thrown into the fire when Deshaun Watson was suspended. And he's made these into situations. He was part of the Tom Brady suspension, remember, when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. So he's been in an almost anti-Forrest Gump way, been thrust in some bad situations and played well. And I think he may get a chance to start next year as a bridge quarterback. You can play Nick Chubb, but he's playing a tough front. And you know, we'll just see how this goes for Cleveland. We'll see how it goes in the passing game. Again, will the weather make you maybe go against Donovan Peoples-Jones? Probably still going to play Amari Cooper. David Njoku may or may not still be on a snap count, a knee added to coming back from that ankle. You're probably going to play him because it's so brutal tight end that Cease was getting at. But for Cleveland, you're not quite handing off the season to Deshaun Watson with a chance to make the playoffs. But how things go are still going to matter for the outlook of this team. But we know that Jacoby Brissett's outlook has improved a lot with what he's done so far this year.
Outlook abounds when we talk about Bengals and Titans up next. And honestly, Bloom, playoff preview.
Yeah, I love this.
I love this as well, because you have the Titans who know who they are, and you have the Bengals who are waiting for Ja'Marr Chase. It's Friday, and Bloom, forgive me, Thanksgiving and everything was a blur, so I haven't double checked what Ja'Marr Chase has been up to, but the original plan was to be back week 12.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's still the plan.
Yeah, I want to, and I like that you mentioned that. It's Friday, by the way. Take out character for a second. Hey everybody who's here with us, awesome on a Friday afternoon. It's closing time, right? The whistle's blowing. You should be, you know, taking the off. Well, it's a vacation weekend, kind of. My point is that we get a little larger view of the game, Cease. We aren't usually previewing the games when we have the injury information,
right,
with the practices. Although this is a weird week of practice too, because teams are kind of going through the motions at some of the practices. It's a holiday weekend for them too.
And then the Broncos did more today. It is a Broncos show, so like Nathaniel Hackett, everybody.
So, but we get a little better chance to let these games marinate in our heads when we're not eating them, our marinated turkey, Cajun turkey, and also get a larger view of the game. And in this case, wow, this is just going to be a great matchup. This is like playoff preview, and Tennessee is pretty safe in the playoffs because of the division they're in. Cincinnati still has work to do, but obviously, man, this was the game that really kicked things off for Cincinnati, where you really started to think, okay, beating Raiders, that's one thing, but you beat Tennessee, you beat the number one seed. Jamar Chase's game time decision, getting in some limited practices. Either way, Joe Burrow's heating up in the passing game. T. Higgins should be in your lineup. Hayden Hurst probably tight end, unless you have an obviously better option. Tyler Boyd, it's probably going to come down to whether Jamar Chase is going to play or not. But you know that you're going to attack this Tennessee defense through the air. One of the best run defenses in the league. And Joe Mixon's ruled out with a concussion. So Samaje Perine, fresh legs. You saw him score those three touchdowns as a receiver. So you expect that. He's basically a must play. I mean, you almost treat Perine, especially in PPR leagues, because of the potential for him to be a check down option, to be similar to how you would have ranked Mixon this week. And for Joe Burrow, and if Chase is back, you like Burrow that much more. But you're also going to have a test here of the pass defense. The Danico Autry's out. So, you know, this team already lost Harold Landry, Tennessee did. Bud Dupree can't stay healthy. So we may see Joe Burrow more comfortable in this one. And that may mean we may see for the third straight week sees a lot of Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, a lot of Ryan Tannehill. And now with more Treylon Burks, maybe right. A little bit of Chigi Okonkwo, right? And where's Nick Westbrook and Kenny? But if that's the case, if they have to go away from Derrick Henry, which they don't like to do, and it will take all right. The efforts to get them away from him, down by 10, they'll still run. Down by 14, they'll still run. You get around that number, and then they're like, okay, now more Tannehill. What does that mean for Tennessee then this week?
Oh, yeah. This is really fascinating because, like, we talked again about this Tennessee team. Remember this. Tennessee, with Malik Willis, played Kansas City straight up. Okay, so what does it mean now that they have a passing game that can threaten? Because you have all these interesting elements, an underrated supporting cast that are continually making contributions. It's kind of like Cincinnati's defense was last year in the playoffs. You know, one week it'll be Hooper. Robert Woods is coming on. Treylon Burks is coming on. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina had a big game a few weeks back. So you have a lot of people contributing. And where this is going to be especially interesting is Cincinnati is going to be overplaying Derrick Henry. Last year in the playoffs, in the upset, Derrick Henry was held in check. But remember, he came back from that foot injury and didn't quite look the same. He's been not as efficient the last 2 weeks, but you see some contributions as a receiver, even as a passer. And the last time around in the playoffs, it was A.J. Brown. And it was, to a lesser extent, Julio Jones. So those guys aren't here anymore. And Cease, if you remember this matchup, this was the game that a lot of people said, that's it. That should be it for Ryan Tannehill, right? The Tennessee should move on. That's it. But he has, I think, especially the last 2 weeks, shown that he's still in the NFL a mediocre, middle quality starting quarterback. And with this team structure and coaching with Mike Vrabel and the togetherness they have in their ethos, that Ryan Tannehill can do enough for this team and maybe even for fantasy. This week, you might look at him as a streamer again, because he's hot, and you would expect if Joe Burrow is able to move the ball through the air against Tennessee, that Ryan Tannehill's going to have to answer. So this is a really interesting game. Like you said, he's not just a playoff preview, but a game I think that will show us where these teams are as far as like developing their identity, and especially for Tennessee, if they can be a dangerous passing team, if Ryan Tannehill can really start to get zeroed in with his targets, this becomes a much more difficult team to eliminate when we get to January.
Texans and Dolphins is up next, Bloom, and that means Texan side, which means it should be a pretty fast
Sunday. Yeah, right. I know some of these games, you know, you switch here to the Texans. Well, Kyle Allen, here's what we got that's going for us with Kyle Allen. He's not shy about throwing. He threw for like 3,300 yards with Carolina in like 13 games. So he'll throw. So that's good. That's good if you're pondering Nico Collins or Brandon Cooks. Maybe not so much with Damian Pierce. And Cease, I think with Damian Pierce, we're getting to a point now where we're wondering, am I going to trust him? Another interesting thing about week 12 is all 32 teams are playing, no bye weeks. So the choices, I don't want to say they're easier because they're always tough choices in fantasy. We have more choices. And maybe you were looking at your running backs and thinking, is Damian Pierce really in because of how things went last week? We'll see if, you know, Benjamin gets worked in. If this team is trailing, playing from behind, then what's Damian Pierce really worth? they're probably going to be playing from behind in Miami.
Yes, and Miami coming off the bye and Waddle, Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not Mostert, though. Maybe an explosivo game from Jeff Wilson.
Exactly. Because
we're watching the health status of Mostert. Bloom, what do you got?
Yeah, Jeff Wilson. It looks like Mostert's doubtful. We know Mostert, once he's hurt, tends to stay hurt. Could Jeff Wilson be a league winner, Cease? Oh, after I put my hand, I dropped him in one league. After Christian McCaffrey trade happened, we knew Elijah Mitchell was coming back. Well, what was Jeff Wilson's future? The number one running back for one of the best offenses in the league. That was his future. Things change fast around here. So yeah, coming all the bye, two at Hill, two at Waddle, even Gesicki, if you got to reach for a tight end. Trent Sherfield, remember, he's got that injury upside. He actually was the highest scoring receiver for Miami going into the bye in the game. And the other note I have here, coming out of the bye here for Miami, is we really have to consider this team as a potential Super Bowl team. I think we've seen enough. I know Tua has to stay healthy, knock on wood, but this is a team. Because of Cease, it's like I was thinking of everything in boxing. My stepfather's a professional boxer, grew up watching the great boxing of the 80s. And it's like a boxer that has a knockout punch and maybe has problems covering up and maybe doesn't throw the best combos and, you know, footwork is off. But Miami's offense and one game scenario, Cease, again, I hate to say this because it's almost like sacrilege, to remind you of the Marino and Clayton and Duper Dolphins, where there was just no game that was out of reach, right?
Right.
We
right.
saw that in that Baltimore game, and this is exciting. So we had a week without the Dolphins. We're going to have a week with the Dolphins and probably running up the score on the Texans.
Probably running all over the place. Is Justin Fields going to be running all over the place, Bloom? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. Bears and Jets is up next, and that's what we'll be watching is like, yeah. I guess it's Trevor Siemian. I don't know. It's Friday, yeah. And again, it's been a whirlwind day.
Yeah. So Fields... It's mixed signals. He's gotten in limited practices. We know he has a pretty gnarly shoulder injury. I want to say torn ligament. And we also know that I think that the Bears said something to the effect of he has to improve to play, or as it is right now, he would not be able to play. I mean, he said it's an AC joint injury. It's a left shoulder injury. So it's not his throwing shoulder, but do you really put him out there? I mean, isn't this the point where you say, great season, we have hope, we turn this thing around, everyone's excited to be part of this Bears experience, and you're putting him out there when he can't really protect himself, right? I mean, if you're playing with a torn up shoulder, especially when you're a runner as much as he is, and he probably won't play in a scared or tentative manner, and that's
play
worse.
Like Josh Allen, and that should that's worry worse. You. It yeah. should worry you.
That's worse. That's worse that he's not. I mean, if you put him out there injured in a way that he's going to have to cover up and not be able to play himself, that's going to be bad for your team. But if he gets hurt, worse. So I think we're going to see Trevor Siemian. And Cease, I'll toss it back to you and say this. And you're going to play David Montgomery probably in any way. The Jets defense is a good defense, all right? I'm not sure what's going to happen with Trevor Siemian, except there'll be a lot more pass attempts. You covered Trevor Siemian for a while. I mean, is this good, or is this going to be a lot of, is this like a 18 for 40 kind of game? And really it just means avoid the Bears offense if Simeon's the quarterback.
Yeah, because pressure, Siemian always saw ghosts, and what do we know the Jets are going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to create that pressure. So there you go. There's your answer on Chicago. What's the answer on the Jets, especially now with more right? Mike White,
right?
And don't talk trash about Robert Saleh's defense, or else you're not going to be just the backup. You're going to be yeah. the third string guy, Zach Wilson. Yeah. Welcome to the bench.
Yeah, don't you love Robert Saleh, by the way? They said,
yes.
What are you going to do if Justin Fields plays? Hit him. What are you going to do if he doesn't play? I'm going to hit the other guy. We're going to hit him. You know, I mean, it's good. It's good. It's a great mentality. And you just get Zach Wilson out of the way. And I do think that some teams, Cease, you've covered a team like this, that offense versus defense, like the rivalry in the building, the idea that the defense says we have to overcome the offense, it can be fuel for a team. But you don't,
especially if you have a defense coordinator like Wade Phillips, who is fueling that fire.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's from that Buddy Ryan school, right? So you have Mike White. You remember he had a 400-yard, 3-touchdown game last year. Also, you saw his limitations. He turned back into a pumpkin. But the pass offense should come up. I think especially Michael Carter. I think he had a ton of catches in the games with Mike White last year. Probably Garrett Wilson. Now, do you play Elijah Moore? Do you play Corey Davis, who should be back for this game? Do you play Tyler Conklin? No. although as a what the heck play or someone to try to give you diversity in DFS, it wouldn't surprise me. It's the Bears defense. Remember, this is a Bears team that has been in some high scoring games, given up a lot of points, but because Justin Fields was matching, we weren't necessarily focused on that. Yeah, the Bears traded away their two best front seven players, and they're one of the worst defenses in the league now. So the Jets should have a game that's going to make everyone say, why did it take so long? And we'll see what it does for fantasy. But for the Jets, again, you're looking at them as a playoff team. And if you're a playoff team, you better beat the Bears, whether or not Justin Fields is in.
That's right. Cuban B is Jacob Red's avatar here on YouTube. It is the Week 12 preview on the Audible, and it is Falcons and Commanders. And Bloom, well, it's watching the health status of Cordarrelle Patterson and then going, what the hell are they going to do without Kyle Pitts? Nobody's picking up anybody behind Kyle Pitts, but there will be a different target structure. What could that possibly look like this week against the Commanders?
Cease, I think after the waiver wire show, we should take up a collection that people can pay us to not sing on the show. I think that we would do a lot better. Pay us and we will never sing again. Who's the real playoff contender? That's my note for this game, because whoever wins this game, we have to look at as a potential playoff team. You know, Atlanta could still be breathing down the neck of Tampa Bay, and it's just Marcus Mariota. So Marcus Mariota, there's been some moments where you feel like, well, the limited tools and what he has to work with, Atlanta's bringing to bear pretty well. And there are other times you say like, yeah, he's so limited. When are we going to see Desmond Ridder? Now, Washington's defensive line right now with Chase Young likely back this week. Yeah, you might be calling for Desmond Ridder after this game. And with no Kyle Pitts, now I don't know how much Kyle Pitts was affecting defense's approach to playing Marcus Mariota, but it gets easier. I know that. So Drake London, and maybe he'll get more targets. Even Cordarrelle Patterson, how can you trust him now? I do think Washington's really coming on. Again, this is a fun story. Taylor Heineke's a fun story. And while this might not be a pretty game, Washington is kind of majoring in winning ugly in a sense where, you know, Taylor Heineke almost throws some interceptions. They certainly have vulnerabilities on defense, but they make the plays when they need to. And if they win this game, Cease, I have to start taking them seriously as a wild card contender.
Take them seriously. They're the Commanders, and they're the Commanders with Taylor Heineke playing that YOLO ball, which we all love. And then, well, we also love the assets that they have. And is Jahan Dotson my sleeper of the week, Bloom? Stay tuned to find out.
Yeah, I think that against Atlanta, what's interesting is AJ Terrell's back, so that might cancel out Terry McLaurin. Now you're looking at, again, these are more desperate plays, but someone like Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, who's now on the injury report with an illness, ribs and an illness, did miss practice today. So that, you know, maybe it goes back to Antonio Gibson. Whoo, talk about circuitous routes for fantasy value of a running back this year, Cease. We've come all the way around to Gibson's their best running back, and he's getting the most touches. And again, this is a winning team. So Antonio Gibson may be bordering on running back one status if they can keep this thing going. Brian Robinson, just more of what the heck flex. You hope to get that rushing touchdown. But it's Ron Rivera, Cease. So I'm happy to see this story have as many legs as long, lasting as long as it can, because maybe we could see all four NFC East teams in the playoffs whenever just a year or two ago they were a laughingstock.
Yeah, they were laughing stock, but that's how things change. People thought the AFC West was going to be the snip, snap, snap. And we'll see how that has gone.
Snaps up
this year. No more than three pumps, Vaughn. Oh, Vaughn.
Oh, no.
Makes me sad. Makes me sad. Let's talk about something that makes me happy. Oh, wait, that's not Denver and Carolina. No. I just looked down. I was like, what's our next game? Oh, God, Denver. It's going to be more Marlon Mack. Just a heads up, okay. There's going to be a lot of, in my opinion, this is just me totally guessing, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fly routes, and it's going to be a lot of double moves. So expect some deeper shots. Maybe is Jalen Virgil my sleeper of the week? He'd have to be pretty sleepy, but there will be some deep shots. There will be Dulcich, there will be Sutton utilized, I believe. You're going to see pivot routes. I believe you're going to see corner routes. We call them flag routes, but like corners, flags, pivot routes, outside, 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 because Russell Wilson doesn't look at the inside, for whatever that's worth. And then, of course, the running back situation. The debut of Marlon Mack is this week. There are some, Bloom, just a guess, that Mac might not start, but might get more touches.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, and that should give you pause about Latavius Murray. If you're playing him, you're only playing him. If you're playing him, you're hoping for a 12 or 15 point game that needs a touchdown to get to that level. Yes. But, and again, more options this week. So normally you'd say a starting back, a back who's likely to get goal line carries, who probably will catch two or three passes in any event, should get in your lineup, but maybe not this week with all 32 teams playing. See, when I saw this game, I alluded to it last week when we saw it was coming up on the schedule. I just wanted to say this. The Denver-Carolina Super Bowl, okay, it would only be in kindergarten right now. It wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And wow, what has happened to these franchises? How can it be 6 years, 6.5 years, almost seven now after a Super Bowl? And both these teams are at dead ends. I mean, Denver might even be worse off than Carolina because they're at a dead end. And the engine's going to keep going vroom, vroom into the wall after they've already crushed the front of the car into the wall. At least Carolina's just broken down and has to have someone come and tow them somewhere. Anyway, that's sad. It's sad you have to play Courtland Sutton, but with Jerry Jeudy out, you might play him. And like Cecil said, Dulcich, Kendall Hinton, who's a pretty solid player. And I'm happy to see him add this chapter to his career. And then we get to Carolina. And it's sad, Cease. This is a sad game.
Oh, I've got so much tea on Denver. I wish I could share it now as I'm like multitasking Bloom. So I apologize to the listeners and the viewers as I'm like working on two screens. But the tea for Denver will be later. And it's big. Mm-hmm. I hate to tease it like that. But let's talk about Carolina. Dante Foreman will be the man if they can stay in it. So the question then becomes, oh God, it's Denver. They can't even score 18 points. Of course they're going to stay in it. So that means Dante Foreman will get his sizable workload. And then we'll see, because Sam Darnold's back, probably better for DJ Moore, probably. And maybe even a tiny dash of Visca, maybe. But it's basically Moore and Foreman, your main fantasy assets here.
Yeah, this is Foreman because the game should stay close. Although, you know, wouldn't it be just like Carolina to be so bad that Denver can pull away and Foreman still isn't involved? Sam Darnold, I don't know if it's going to be better. Play Denver defense. TJ Moore, would Sam Darnold make it better? I'm not counting on it. I guess you can try. You make a wish. You know, pull the wishbone from the turkey and hope that DJ Moore does better with Sam Darnold. That's where it is for Carolina right now.
Yeah, that's where it is, and it is not good. Baltimore and Jacksonville, well, that's not good on one side, but it's good on the Baltimore side now with more Gus Edwards back, Bloom, to complicate things. And then speaking of complicated, didn't Marcus Robinson get banged up? Like, he's been on the injury report. Yeah. So people were like, and I always thought it was waiver wire fool's gold. Mm-hmm. And so here we go. He might not even play this week. Let's know the latest here with the Baltimore side.
Yeah, I think the latest here is that this is an offense that isn't really that interesting. And it's an offense, I think, without Ronnie Stanley, that's going to continue to bog down. So you do have Lamar Jackson, who has to stay in your lineup just because the bar is low at quarterback. But if you were weighing him against, like, say, Geno Smith or something like that, I can make an argument for Geno Smith over him. You are going to play Mark Andrews because tight end's so bad, and that's it. You know, you have a three-way backfield with Gus Edwards, and you don't even know if they're going to commit to the run. They did the last time Edwards came back, maybe. So that's another reason to DeMarcus Robinson's hurt, and Devin Duvernay hasn't been doing as much. And I think you're just seeing this as an offense that against Carolina last week only scored because Marcus Peters forced a fumble deep in Carolina's end. So Jacksonville's coming off a bye. Jacksonville's defense isn't anything to be scared of, but against Greg Roman's offense, I think they can at least hem in Baltimore. But the problem for Jacksonville is that Baltimore's got a really good defense now.
Yeah, really good defense going up against, an offense that has its limitations. So what does a limited Jacksonville offense try to do at home against Baltimore?
Yeah, just try to get first downs, basically, right? Short passing, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. I think the thing is, you got to remember, Marlon Humphrey is healthy now, okay? They've added Roquan Smith. They've added players on the edge, Jason Pierre-Paul. Tyus Bowser's healthy now. Justin Houston is making plays every week, all right? This is a team that has a defense that, what is there really to attack? It's Jacksonville, which is a conservative offense to begin with. So, you know, Kirk, you're going to play because of the upside, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a dud game for him. Zay Jones might have an 8 catch for 40 yards kind of game. Evan Engram, I guess. Probably not Marvin Jones, although there's always a chance that he could beat Marcus Peters if there's time to throw downfield. So it's really Travis Etienne, and in a low-scoring game, a slugfest, maybe more of a street fight kind of game, maybe Travis Etienne gets 25, 30 touches in this game and can keep it close just on his own burst, talent, ability, fresh coming out of the bye. Darrell Henderson not going to be active for this game, but that's who got Darrell Henderson, the Jags. So maybe great for them. Snoop Connor, maybe not doing it for them. And Jacksonville just trying to be competitive here against the Baltimore team. I think they can win, but isn't pulling away from anybody.
Not pulling away from anybody, but can they do it? We'll see. Chargers and Cardinals is our next game up. And the Chargers side of things, well, we're continue to watch the injury report. Like, what's my Josh Palmer stock doing? It depends on summer stock. It depends on what's happening with Keenan Allen and with Mike Williams, specifically Bloom. So let's go through it with the Chargers on the road against VJ's defense.
And the Chargers have no margin of error, but they should be able to advance Joseph, like you said, and no Byron Murphy. That's the key here. We saw no Byron Murphy against San Fran last week, and you saw everything work for San Francisco's pass offense. So Justin Herbert to Allen, Justin Herbert to Eckler, and Justin Herbert to Palmer. I don't think we're going to see Mike Williams. I believe he's ruled out. So and the other thing you're looking at here is Gerald Everett. You had two touchdowns for George Kittle. The worst collective game a tight end group has had against Arizona this year, is 4 for 40. And that was the Panthers tight ends. So it's more like even the Panthers tight ends put up 4 for 40 against them. So you're looking at Gerald Everett here as a play, as long as he's active. But this is an afternoon game. But for the Chargers, you know, you hope they can get something going. It is tough to make the playoffs in the AFC, like you were saying earlier, Cease. The AFC West, not everything it was cracked up to be, but the Chargers can still start to come on and finish strong. And for Arizona, Cease, we're back. We're just stuck in this loop with Arizona. And you just wonder, you know, at some point they're going to have to, they've extended Kingsbury and Keim this offseason, but at some point they're going to have to say, this just isn't going to work. These aren't the guys to get us to the next step. Good luck after that.
Well, it reminds me of what we've seen here in Denver. Like, when you let Kyler Murray's dad call the shots, like, that sets a bad precedent. When you let Russell Wilson have six parking spots, I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
When you let Russell Wilson have six parking spots, his entire team gets full access to the building at any time. These are not Broncos employees. Like, you set a bad precedent. So if you're Happy Fun Baby Star, you're like, oh my God. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're just like, what do we do, Mr. Murray? And I guess Kyler's going to play. They have a bye next week.
Yeah.
But Kyler's going to play. Yeah. So I don't know. And then we look to the wide receivers. It's like, all right, is Rondo going to play? Is Dorsch going to play? Are we actually looking to Robbie Anderson and AJ Green? I'm not, Bloom.
No. No, you're not. I want to make a fantasy football team name out of that, Cease. Like Russell in the six spots, park something, you know, that's good. That's wonderfully specific. And I still remember when you and I did the don't be that guy Friday thing about you parking way far away from everybody and taking up two spots.
Yeah, I take but up two spots, two but spots. I park where no one else wants to park.
Yeah. You're a decent human being. You would never ask for six spots. So Kyler Murray's back. You're going to play him because quarterback's so bad. And he's going to throw a lot to DeAndre Hopkins. And Marquise Brown's going to be back. And there's risk, but there's no one else really to throw the ball to. Greg Dortch is supposedly a game time decision, but he's got a messed up thumb. Wide receiver, messed up thumb. No, thank
not
you.
Not good.
Yeah. So Trey McBride, maybe it's a Trey McBride game. You could do worse than trying that out. But I think you're looking at 15, 20 targets even for DeAndre Hopkins. Is Brown ready? If he's Brown, Brown is ready, he could do more green. We're getting to the colors here. AJ Green, not going to play him, but that's it. Maybe it's James Conner. And if Arizona can keep this game close, it's a lot of running the ball. James Conner against a weak Chargers run defense. James Conner even as a receiver out of the backfield. They certainly don't seem to have any qualms about using a lot of James Conner, even though that generally leads to him breaking down. So we'll see. This would be a good fantasy offense. But again, this is a team that is going nowhere.
Going nowhere against a team that's maybe going somewhere. Anyway, Raiders in Seattle is our next game up that we're going to discuss in the Week 12 preview here. And the Raiders side, they seem to have figured stuff out. Down a Darren Waller, down a Hunter Renfrow. Just use lots of Adams.
Right.
Use Mac Hollins. Now it's Adams against Tariq Woolen, who might fare better than Pat Surtain did. Tariq Woolen should have been their pick instead of Delarian Turner. Yell. anyway. And Isaiah Pacheco should have been their pick instead of Montrell Washington. I was arguing with someone in the know today about that. But anyway, I'm a complainer when it comes to the Broncos day three draft picks this year. I am excited about more Josh Jacobs. Like, he's going to make himself some money as long as he stays. And if you're the Raiders, why don't you offer a deal? Like,
yeah, now
it's working. But again, Mark Davis can't do anything about asking the bank first. I'm asking you, Bloom, the bank of information. What are the Raiders going to do?
That's pretty good. The bank actually runs the Raiders. Maybe that's the problem. It's a lot of Jacobs. Someone was asking in the chat room, who's behind Jacobs? Because Zamir White was a healthy scratch. Amir Abdullah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like when Cooper Kupp went out for the Rams. There's not really anybody you want there. I had at the top of my notes, these Adams versus Woolen. That's going to be fun. You're still going to play Devontae Adams, but that's a massive matchup for this one. And if Woolen can play up to his measurables, you know, maybe even you're thinking about Seattle defense this week, because when the Raiders are away from home and it goes bad, it goes very, very bad. Foster Moreau, Mac Hollins. You got Seattle coming off of a bye here. Seattle feeling good. I'm not looking down ticket for any hits in this Raiders offense or this Raiders team. I still think that you're looking at this as, see, it's not just a bad team, because they're not really a bad team, right? I mean, that's the thing. The Raiders have good players. They just aren't deploying their team in a way, Josh McDaniels, to get the best results. And that's why I think this could be a game where the 12th man, the fans in Seattle, have a good time.
Good times abound on the Seattle side with good times with Kenneth Walker, right? And then, of course, Geno doing his thing. Yeah. And Geno keeping his job, unlike Jacoby Brissett. Yeah. But there are, again, like I've said, there's more Taysom Hills if teams would just pay attention. And there are so many players, if we look back on NFL history, which we can't right now, Bloom, we're up against it. But, like, if we look back at all the quarterbacks that were just overlooked or not given the chance, you know, of what they could have been, in today's NFL, like, it's fascinating to consider what the NFL perhaps missed out on because they didn't get another chance like a Geno Smith got.
Yeah, and hopefully, whether it's Geno Smith or Jacoby Brissett, and folks, you can connect the dots here, you know, about opportunities, additional opportunities, a lack of additional opportunities. But absolutely, one of the stories of the year in the NFL is Geno Smith. And much like, hey, Teddy Bridgewater got his bag. Whatever happens with Teddy, he got his bag, which is awesome. You know, Geno's going to get an even bigger bag, and that's great. And he's earned it, and he's earned it with belief in self. He saw at the beginning, you know, didn't write him back. That's wonderful. So, yes, he should be in your lineup. Yes, that's the other thing, is he's arrived for fantasy football in this offense. Kenneth Walker, you're looking at a potential league winner, unleashed. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, got to be in your lineups. You still have Noah Fant and Will Disley's desperation play, but you have Cease, the story of these teams. And I think we can look at Philadelphia doesn't count. I mean, they count because they have New Orleans first round pick, but there's these teams that have top 10 first round picks because of trades they made. Seattle's going to get Denver's pick. Oh, they got their quarterback and they have a high first round pick. And of course, Detroit is going to get the Rams first round pick. So, but for Seattle, first round picks, no. This team wants to win a division. This team wants to host a playoff game. This team has plans.
Plans. Bloom, who's a good Seattle beat writer? I'm, again, multitasking, so my brain's a little fried right now. But who are some of your favorites? I know our friend Liz Matthews was out there doing her stuff for USA Today. I remember that. It's not Danny Kelly.
Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, I sat with him at the table with Julius Thomas coming out of Portland State. We're the only two people talking to Julius at the Combine. Years ago. Remember Berries? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Ben asked for a favorite beat writer from Seattle.
Yeah, like, and I got
is Shiel up there? Shiel's still up there.
Shiel's a national guy now.
He's a national guy now, but he probably still goes to the facility, right?
Yeah, and I think who is it?
One of the good guys, athletic, by the way. Love Shiel.
I got Curtis Crabtree. I'm looking at the Bob Condotta. He's been covering the team forever.
Yeah, Bob Condotta's legendary.
Brady Henderson is great. I'm finally pulling up my list here as I was stalling. Oh, Sean Michael Duggar. He does terrific stuff.
Never trust a man with three names.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good beats. Corbin Smith. I think there's a, and the thing is with Seattle, you see player like Bob Condotta has been there. Mike Sando was an old Seattle beat writer before he went national.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of good people covering the Seahawks and it's a good story. And I think it's, you know, again, I hadn't mentioned Pete Carroll yet. We have to mention Pete Carroll because he's showing why he has staying power. And I think it's such a great thing for a franchise to be rewarded for taking a chance on Geno.
Yeah, take that chance. Rams. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Rams and Chiefs. It was 51-50. It was the Van Halen score last time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crap this time. Yeah. Mainly thanks to the Rams. And is it Bryce Perkins starting?
I think so. Sean McVay wants to play games, but I think.
Speaking of playing games, are you going to play games and stream him? Because he's a runner?
Yeah, right? It's funny, Cease, the mentals, the wavelengths. Because I had, as my first note here, remember the Mexico City game? Actually, it was 54-50 when I went and looked it up. I don't remember anything specifically. 54-51. Yeah, it was the only game in NFL history where both teams scored the 50s. It was the only game in NFL history where a team scored 51 over 50 points and lost. That was Kansas City. This is not going to be like that. They're not saying that Bryce Perkins is going to start, but he's gotten the starter snaps. Why not? Let's see what he can do. You've got a guy here who scored 20 rushing touchdowns in college at Virginia. So, yeah, last week against the Saints in the Superdome, he looked comfortable. And the thing is, teams don't have tape, right? See, you get these running quarterbacks, defenses play on their heels a little bit. And for a fantasy perspective, at least, especially against Kansas City, with the Rams looking ahead, right? Because the Rams, you know, they're the car, they won the race. And by the time they roll the car into the pit, Cease, smoke's coming out of the hood. They won the race,
right.
But it's falling apart now, and that's okay. If you're a Rams fan, that's okay. And for fantasy, maybe that's okay, because you put Bryce Perkins in a desperate situation like that, where just go out there and play. You know, this is your chance to make your NFL career, Bryce Perkins. That's good for fantasy, I think. Now, I don't see anybody. Allen Robinson's a game time decision, or at least questionable. Tyler Higbee's hurt. There's not, and Van Jefferson, I don't know. There's not anybody you want to play from this passing game. Maybe Kyren Williams, because you would expect if they're behind a lot of dump offs to Kyren Williams. Of course, you got Cam Akers, his chance at redemption to rescue something out of his career. But yeah, the Rams are more of a sacrificial lamb here to the Chiefs, who continue to reinvent themselves. As long as Patrick Mahomes is at the helm, they're in the mix.
Yeah, so how are we looking at this one against a Rams team that they should be able to get away from easily?
Right. Yeah.
I think it could be a nice Pacheco day because, you're up, you just run the ball. And Pacheco, even on 15 carries, he had over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. So, okay, get a lead with whoever. It's not going to be Kadarius Toney. But, you know, more Sky Moore. Is Sky Moore my sleeper of the week, Bloom? Right. Let's talk
maybe.
About it.
Maybe. Yeah, I think it's You got Kelsey, you got Juju, and then there may be a third person. It could be Pacheco in the running game. It could be Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Marcus, Kadarius Toney. Could even maybe be Jerick McKinnon, but you would expect success here from the Chiefs offense. You expect the Chiefs to be able to control this game. And again, I think about these teams in the AFC, Cease, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore. I mean, they got to get the offense going to be included in the mix of teams that have legitimate Super Bowl chances. And again, Tennessee, I'm here in week 12 putting Tennessee on that list, and something I did not expect at the beginning of the season.
Did not expect that, and did not expect Saints and 49ers to come up so quickly, Bloom, but here we are. Some transitions are better than others. Saints side, and we had the chat room talking about Alvin Kamara. So let's talk about Kamara and Olave and Taysom Hill and our normal Saints that we would consider, and maybe even a dash of Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, the Saints offense, you would think they're going to have to be playing from behind in this one, I would expect. San Francisco's offense is clicking. Now San Francisco's defense is still pretty good. But do you think you're going to see more Taysom Hill? 42% of the snaps last week. So you're going to see more Taysom Hill. Cease, how about this first scenario? Dennis Allen plays at some point Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. And Taysom Hill as the tight end helps you win your league because he's a starting quarterback at tight end. Just having covered Dennis Allen, is it at least possible that if Andy Dalton craps out, we see Hill at starter?
Dennis Allen loves everything safe. So I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, right? It's safe in some ways.
Nothing but the missionary in the Allen household. rumor.
Yeah, right. Safe. Well, Alvin Kamara, safe. Chris Olave is doing enough with Andy Dalton. Juwan Johnson, you got to play 5 touchdowns in 5 weeks. Landry is just helping this offense. He's not 100%. Again, it might be San Francisco defense. And again, it's Howie Roseman. Got the Saints first-round pick. Every Saints loss is just profiting for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. They continue to profit all the time. The 49ers are looking at making a Super Bowl run. Yeah.
Again.
A Super Bowl run again. Is Elijah Mitchell going to play? I think we talked about it in the waiver wire show. Mm-hmm. That's mainly what I'm going to be watching for. It's like, okay, when Elijah is back, how's that look with Christian? They'll work together and they'll do wonderful things, most likely, yeah, with Kyle Shanahan getting his way.
Yeah, I still think we are – one of these games, we're going to have like a three or four touchdown outburst from Christian McCaffrey. It's going to take a team sticking with them and having more of a – keeping that offense wide open. But for Jimmy Garoppolo, it's easy right now. The mismatch is everywhere.
He's making so much money. He's, yeah, not, he's oh, the guy, yeah, that gets the A when you work in a group and you get the project going and like the guy doesn't do much.
Right. He's just the one that gives the introduction. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. I'll do the introduction, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, really, it's just how much can New Orleans offense do to keep this game close? If we can get into true stealing game territory. And as we saw last week, look, Ayuk had 2 touchdowns. Samuel's a little banged up, but as long as he's active, he should be in your lineup. Kittle had 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey was kind of the disappointment. But don't let that make you think that 3-4 touchdown games are not still within his range of outcomes here, as everything's clicking for San Francisco. Absolutely. And see, so if we're really being honest, right? If you just envision right now, San Francisco going into Minnesota, San Francisco going into Tampa Bay, San Francisco going into Philadelphia or Dallas. This team's, they went into Dallas one last year, you know. Yeah,
they're winning most all those games.
Yeah, so this is where we are, right back where we started again. And give it up for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think this was Kyle Shanahan's decision. See, who is the person most responsible for Jimmy Garoppolo still being a 49er?
Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah.
You want to know the truth?
No, that's fair. Well,
dude, we talked about it, and I teased it on this show. I might as well just tell everybody. Like,
yeah,
there were rumblings around the building. Like, we don't like what we're seeing from Trey. He did suffer arm fatigue last year. That I know there were, like, some beat writers who are like, no, he didn't. That's from the team telling you that, okay? They're telling you that because they don't want you to know. The truth of the matter is there was, even if we want to say slight arm fatigue from the coaching staff that watched Trey Lance all of last year and he didn't get it. Then they watched him all of this offseason and he didn't get it. Why do you think I've said, I don't think Trey Lance starts another game for the 49ers. So the person most responsible, it's not Kyle. It's not John. They put their eggs in a basket and yeah, that basket was Trey Lance. And well, they wanted another basket. They might be able to get that basket, but we'll see.
All the King's horses and all the King's men, and Jimmy Garoppolo put the 49ers back together again.
All right. It is Green Bay Packers and Philadelphia Eagles up next in a game that, like, what might have been? Aaron Rodgers has a broken thumb. Shocker. Still out there slinging it. Randall Cobb is going to be their leading receiver again. Big deal. Like, they probably won't use Jones and Dylan as much as they should. So Green Bay, we kind of have figured out in what is a lost season.
Yeah. See, I got tough love. Where's tough love come from? This will be a tough game for Aaron Rodgers. When are we going to see Aaron Love?
Bad trip.
Jordan Love.
Bad trip.
Love. Yeah. Bad trip. Ayahuasca. Mm. So, you know, I just wonder when we're going to see Jordan Love. You mentioned that thumb. I mean, at some point when there's nothing left to gain, if you're Aaron Rodgers again, and Aaron,
Why are you playing with a broken thumb, man?
Yeah. And Green Bay is not that much in different spot seats than Denver, where you're committed to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh yeah.
At least for another year, you're committed. And is that a good thing at this point? Aaron Jones over AJ Dillon. And again, this team was coming off of an NFC title game, right? And they take Jordan Love and they move up and take Jordan Love and they take AJ Dillon. And we all thought, that's terrible. Cue the folks saying, you can't judge a draft right after the draft. It was terrible then. It's even more terrible now. Not only were Jordan Love and AJ Dillon not picks that team, they were not rational picks because you're in a Super Bowl window. Okay. Even look at what Christian Watson has done for them this year. A pick like Christian Watson. Okay. You're in a Super Bowl window. You take picks for the future. If you hit on the pick, no matter what the position, it's going to help out in the future, but you help the team now. And they took a backup running back, and yeah, Aaron Jones is going in free agency the next year. They kept Aaron Jones smartly, but again,
They paid him.
they paid him, and not as much as, I mean, he went out and I think he paid him like $8 million a year. He found, like Melvin Gordon did, oh, the market's not going to be great for veteran running backs once you're through your rookie contract. And A.J. Dillon, I was not that big of an A.J. Dillon guy coming out of Boston College, maybe just Andre Williams, you know, it's the ghost of Andre Williams. But, okay, they attempted to implement that thunder and lightning backfield and build around the offensive line and do all of those things. And it didn't work. And A.J. Dillon's not that guy. He's not contributing to this team at all, basically. There's running backs that are on the street. Latavius Murray could have contributed as much to this team as
Jamal Williams should have stayed there.
Sure. I mean, if they still had Jamal Williams, and then you have that second round pick where you could be taking a player who could be helping this team get over the hump. So I go off on this discourse in some ways, Cease, because it's an elegy for the Rodgers Packers, right? Isn't it funny that the little flicker when the eyes opened back up within the death scene was against Mike McCarthy? But then the eyes went back to sleep. So for fantasy, you know, Christian Watson, Alan Lazard against James Bradbury, Darius Slay, I don't like it. I don't like it. Randall Cobb, I guess. But, you know, this just makes me think like CD Deuce is going to swoop in and pick off a ball or two against a banged up Aaron Rodgers. It's not Green Bay's time anymore. Is it Philly's time? They should be able to handle this game if it is.
Yeah, if it's their time, then they'll be able to do kind of what they want at home. What are you expecting from Jalen Hurts and company?
It should be good. Remember, Green Bay lost Rashawn Gary, their best edge rusher. Devondre Campbell's been banged up. The secondary hasn't been as good as we thought. Like, this was, again, on paper, this defense looked like it was going to be one of the best in the league. And then Minnesota comes out in the first week. Like, well, they've got motion. We've got to stay in zone. And that was your preview that maybe this Packers defense was going to be less than the sum of the parts. But you're going to play Jalen Hurts against him. You probably play Miles Sanders. You know he has that explosive ability and at least a 50-50 shot at a touchdown. Without Dallas Goedert, there's more A.J. Brown, there's more Devontae Smith. It's a little more concentrated there. There's no tight end that we want. So we watch Jalen Hurts. And Cease, I guess if we're watching this game Sunday night, we're watching it with an eye. Is Jalen Hurts ready to win a playoff game?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at. And so far, you know, it was a tough Detroit team that was a tough out, but he showed that he can persevere and maybe won't have to win this one.
Yeah, maybe not. Monday night football. It's Steelers and it's Colts and it's not good. Maybe it'll surprise us, Bloom. I don't know. Maybe Najee Harris won't be banged up. I don't know. Right. Maybe Jaylen Warren, speaking of banged up, like it's the Steelers, Bloom. So also, Very odd. And I heard it from a really reliable person, but I don't believe it, that the Steelers may be unhappy with Mike Tomlin. So I don't believe it. There's been three coaches of the Steelers in our lifetime. So I don't believe it. But the person that told me this is not one for hyperbole in the NFL coaching world.
I don't know. Who can see another thing? And I just bring this up as a way, by the way, my brain was the Colts who are playing in this game, not the Lions who gave the Eagles all they could handle last week. It was the Lions who gave Buffalo all they could handle on Thanksgiving. Crossed wires. Like you said, see, a lot has happened this week. Hey, back off. A lot has happened this week. We're here.
Right. Lay off me. I'm starving.
Lay off me. I had leftovers.
Let me finish.
So I'll say this, Cease. I'll say this. As these organizations change hands through, inheritance, right? It does add a layer of unpredictability. So when we're looking at the Steelers, you know, most of those years, Cease, our lifetime, that was Dan Rooney, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? Who knows what the decision making would be? But at the same time, Cease, since you invoked this possibility of the Steelers and Mike Tomlin parting ways, I'll just say this. And you got me down a tangent now, Cease. But it's a good one because as Steelers fans, this is something to reckon with. And I will say this. And Mike Tomlin, as a coach of the Steelers, has been quite a story, right? He was the Rooney Rule coach, you know. If you want,
he was not the plan. He was not going.
It was Wisengrin.
Surprised him, yeah. It was Grimm.
and they Wisenhunt and Grimm were a package deal, and they went to Arizona, and the two teams played each other in one of the best Super Bowls of all time. Mm. James Harrison is a Hall of Fame semifinalist. He might even end up being a Hall of Fame. He may even make the Hall of Fame. Sorry. See, that's me. That's a Steelers fan of me getting really excited. Mm-hmm. This makes me not as excited, but at the same time, it's been a very interesting public story to watch play out. And it's taken a turn. And this is why I'm setting all this up, Cease. It has taken a turn. Because I think what you've seen in the last year or two, Cease, correct me if I'm wrong, is a more frustrated Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. A Mike Tomlin at times who very much sometimes can't say what he wants to say, and sometimes can't say what he wants to say and says it anyway. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hiring Brian Flores? You can go back and look at Mike Tomlin and some of the times he's been asked about this league and hiring practices and so on, and the frustration is obvious. And there's a lot that you can tell he's been carrying. See, there's a larger social conversation here that we're not going to get into, but I'll say this. If there comes a day soon when Mike Tomlin is not the Steelers head coach, it will be because Mike Tomlin did not want to be the Steelers head coach anymore.
Right. Right. Okay, Steelers Colts. Let's just talk about it and wrap it up.
I know, right? Sorry.
Yeah,
I
mean, sorry, you know, sorry, everybody. Sorry, sorry.
No. I mean, but these stories and how these, every time we check in with these teams in a game, we're checking in with these stories. Kenny Pickett, well, he'll be scrappy. Indy's defense is pretty good. Now, they're a little banged up, but Pickett's not a streamer this week. Najee Harris is going to get all the work, but he's banged up. Play Pat Freiermuth. Play George Pickens, but again, this could be more of a floor game. Indy gave Philly all they could handle last week. Held Philadelphia to 17 points. They didn't get 18. Deontay Johnson, that extension's looking rough. They're not getting anything out of that $18, $20 million a year that they're paying Deontay Johnson. You know, for the Colts, another very fascinating story. Where do they go from here? Well, they're a team that at least has pride. They're a team that has an identity on offense. And they're a team that may make the Steelers' defense look a little hamstrung as long as Matt Ryan can stay upright.
It is the audible. And before we're out of here, Bloom, we have to pay the bills. It's old radio term. By doing our sleeper of the week.
It's time for the sleeper of the week, powered by Sleeper.
The Cincinnati backup running back was so good to me last week.
Oh, you'll never top that one. Yeah.
I almost want to go Chris Evans, right? Just to be like double dip, rip, trip, double blah, blah, flip. Sleeper of the week, Sky Moore. Sky Moore, ladies and gentlemen, there's enough to go around, and it should be pretty easy for Kansas City. So get Sky Moore in as your what the heck flex sleeper of the week. Sleeper, Bloom. Who is your sleeper of the week?
You're never going to top that one, Cease. You should just retire sleepy.
It's like Daffy Duck with the magic trick off. When he blows himself up and he's like, he's floating up to heaven. He's like, yeah, I can only do it once.
That's the finale rack. Samaje Perine, sleeper of the week. And I feel bad, too, that people came. See, that was Sig's sleeper. No, it wasn't. That was Cecil's sleeper of the week. Come on.
Just dreaming about his backside. That's why I was sleeper of the week.
Motorboating. Rashad White. Now that Leonard Fournette's doubtful, I don't know. Michael Carter might get 15 points just as a receiver in this one. Kyron Williams, maybe two. And let's go back to that Pittsburgh Indy game. Paris Campbell, slot receiver, someone who can make things happen after the catch. That could be problems for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Problemas. We hope everyone had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great week 12. As always, he's Sigmund. I'm Cecil. We are the Audible. Be safe. Be kind. Know that you are appreciated. Stay tuned. And as always, stay frosty.
It's a wrap.
And that was the Audible.
But also available for picnics, lodge meetings, children's parties, and smokers.
This thing needs more gungans. See all you guys get all pissed off, all worked up.